Tell me a bit about Blindside and about the show.
Yeah, totally. So Blindside is an artist-run gallery in Nam, just down the road in the Nicholas Building on Swanson Street near Flinders Street Station. And so it's a gallery that's predominantly volunteer-run by artists and curators, and debut, like the gallery, is in its 20th year. So I'm an artistic director at Blindside, and I've co-curated this iteration of debut with another artistic director, Genevieve Pico.
Awesome.
And so Jen and I visited late last year all the grad shows at RMIT, VCA and Monash, and together, and I'd say very harmoniously, we're very much on the same page. We selected six artists.
Mm.
So June Ha, Indy Jennings, Nikki Katuzzi, Lala Zaray, and of course, Fung and Pony, who are here with us today. And, the exhibition spans, a bunch of mediums, including painting, photography, video, sound, sculpture, and ceramics.
Awesome. Could you tell me a bit about, what you were looking for in that selection process, and maybe also with you guys, how it felt to be selected for a show like this?
Yeah, totally. I wouldn't say we're looking for anything in particular. We were quite intentional in terms of we went and saw all of the shows before we made any decisions, and we were quite interested to kind of see the common threads between the shows in terms of like the mediums that are popular at the moment and, yeah, I guess kind of unpicking like the thematics and what the grads were interested in. So yeah, I wouldn't say we're looking for anything in particular. I'd say Jen and I are both interested in art that speaks to, you know, our current contemporary existence. And I think, yeah, all the artists and artworks do that. But yeah, we were really pleased last night. Actually, I think Indy and Fung, you picked up on there's an interesting thread between three of the six artworks relating to the suburb of Sunshine. I might not talk about that. Fung might want to. Otherwise, you just need to go and check it out and figure it out for yourself.
I've yet to check it out. I would really like to next week. But yeah, your photo series Sunshine, which I actually did get to see at RMIT grad show, I really loved it.
Thank you.
And the photo book itself is of a really high quality as well. I was interested in asking you about the aspect of publishing or self-publishing, kind of the process that you went through there.
Before I started my final semester in RMIT last year, I already got a book deal with a publisher, local publisher, Tall Puppy Press.
Awesome.
It's as part of their biannual publishing. What is biannual? Is it once every 2 years or
twice
a year? Yep. So they do it once every 2 years. And yeah, and I applied and I didn't get the prize, but then they were still very interested in the work. So they made up a runner-up prize and they signed a book deal. And it was really great because I already had everything lined up in terms of the body of work. Like, I know that I have around like 200 images that
it's an expansive body of work.
We can edit down with the publisher and then come down with around like 80 images that someone would love to publish. But I had very little idea of what the final book should look like. Mm. I don't know if it's going to be hardcover, you know, all those little details. And yeah, going through the final major project semester of RMIT photography, I was working with a designer who is Vietnamese-Australian, Vanessa Lay, who graduated graphic design from Monash. And we were having these discussions about the book, and I was really fortunate to work with Vanessa in terms of just having her perspective as a second-generation immigrant who actually live really close by to my place, and we had like great dinners. And during the finalizing the aspects of the book, I also know that I really want to do text to work with the photographs. And I think I'm very proud of the text that were produced, even more than some of the images. And one of the memorable text from the book was an interview between my partner Anne and a Buddhist monk, Thich Phật Hoan, who is a monk in residence at Chùa Pháp Hoa, which is a temple in Sunshine North. And we were, it was an impromptu interview because we came to the temple mostly because of my partner's religious practice, but also we were checking in on their schedule, like what is their usual time for praying sessions. And then there wasn't anyone at the temple, so we were just like waiting around, going through Anne's ritual. And then the Buddhist monk actually invited us in, and he was insisting that we wouldn't leave without hearing through his teachings. And we asked him, like, can we record into interview? Can we film it in the process? And he was very happy to do it. And then later on, transcribe it. And then it's made itself into the book. Yeah. And the book also touched on several aspects of the contemporary conditions of being a second generations and third generations of Vietnamese immigrants in Australia. I try not to make it into like a historical book. There's like a graph in the beginning explaining methods of migration through boats or through planes or like illegal migration as well. But then it's more on the current day condition, including the Footscray Primary School getting rid of its Vietnamese bilingual teaching, which is really unbelievable because it's the only Vietnamese bilingual teaching in the country. And they were replacing it with the Italian language teaching, which is not the right demographic for Footscray, not to mention that there's already like several other Italian bilingual teaching throughout Victoria. So yeah, there's also at the end of the book, there's an interview with public artist Hoàng Trần Nguyễn, who's also one of the leading parent who led the campaign confronting the school about that decision. And yeah, so the book and the body of work was just my way of collaborating with community members to see what's the stories and what's it's like to be Vietnamese Australian, which is an identity that I cannot myself directly relate to. I was born and raised in Vietnam. I came to Australia in 2022 for my studies. And yeah, so there's like this dichotomy of being both an insider, like who knows all the history, who knows all this context, but then the outside of the discourse and who doesn't know that nuance and what it feels like to be actually Vietnamese Australian. And the work isn't to like directly portray the community as a documentary book, but more of reflecting my experience of, you know, unlearning Australia as a concept of a nation, because I have a very different perception of Australia and what is it like to be Vietnamese diaspora before coming to Australia. So, yeah, and the book is about little intersection between Vietnamese migrant and, you know, anti-migrant policies or Vietnamese migrants with indigenous lands, which is specifically the artwork that I was leaning towards with the Blindside show. Yeah, I was showing one work, which is a photograph that was photographed by the Coral Creek. It's a part of the Maribyrnong River. And that streams, it was an important meeting place of indigenous Australians, but then it's not. And then the Vietnamese migrants came and occupied the space and the space surrounding it. So I was really interested in this sort of intersection between different positionalities, like what it's like to be migrants but then settlers, and then what is it like to settle on a country that once aided in invading one's homeland, because Australia has a role in invading Vietnam. So it's quite a complex topic that I don't think would ever be resolved. So the work is more of speculating differences and speculating how these differences between these different communities, indigenous and Vietnamese migrants and Australians, like what is the commonalities and how visual arts can like bridge that using like speculating the scene of Vietnamese boat migrants who were like having a really difficult journey over the Pacific Ocean. And many of them didn't made it through the journey, and some like died on the shore of Australia. And speculating it on Aboriginal land and what does it mean to like lose a river. So yeah, so think of how these commonalities can be speculated through visual arts and you know, mitigate the differences.
I wanted to speak a bit about the piece. I saw a quick little photo on Instagram of the opening last night, so I saw how it was installed. But could you speak about that photo in the river and maybe about your thought processes behind getting the subjects to stand in the way that they are, and also about the install of this kind of like metal framing thing as well?
Yeah, the photograph was photographed with Kitty Lay, who's a friend I know through working in Australia. She was my neighbor in Sunshine, and she was one of the first people to like reach out and help me with just living. And she migrated here since she was 5, and she legally changed her name to Kitty when she was 14. So yeah, and by that time when I was producing the photograph, I was working in the fashion industry a lot with Kitty, who's a stylist. And we were like really yearning for the intersection between art and fashion photography. So we decided to come up with the concept, and we have Anne as the other subject in the photo. And yeah, we just traveled to the creek, to a part that many now, like the more like wider part of the neighborhood, could come and hike. And which there's like a temple, a Vietnamese temple right nearby as well. And yeah, we post for the photo, and the installation ideas was using C-stands, like metallic C-stands, which were actually used a lot in photography and film sets, and try to like connect it back with the idea of posing for fashion and subvert it for this, for the use of documentary art photography. And the rocks were borrowed directly from the Mary Brennan Creek. And it starts travel with me through like iterations of the show. And the idea is that after the work is like retired, the prints will be destroyed and the rocks will be returned to, commenting on like notions of settling has to be erased at some point. And then what's stolen has to be returned back. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's really awesome. I'm very keen to see that work as well. I feel like it would be hard to, I mean, not entirely difficult, because obviously it's a recent graduate show, so it's more about putting a spotlight on young people's work. But I think making these connections, and even you mentioned before about kind of after the fact, maybe realizing that there's some connections between different works in the show. Would you be able to speak a bit about that maybe, or just like a quick little explanation of what you were mentioning before about those?
We kind of realized last night that Nikki Cattuzzi's video work was filmed in Sunshine, I believe, at the Hyphenated House. Shout out to Hyphenated. If you don't know them, look them up. And Indy's work, Sunshine Harvester Works, it's kind of in the name, but there's an interesting connection there. I think you just need to go and have a look at it and figure it out. And then, of course, Fung's work. But, yeah, that was totally unintentional. Similarly, like when you're working with grads across universities, people tend to know each other. So there's a nice kind of like harmony and symmetry there.
And community.
Yeah. And I guess I would say that there was some intention in terms of like how the works would sit together in the exhibition. But I think it was, I don't know, not to be woo-woo about it, but it was kind of serendipitous, like that the works that we selected do work really well together. But like anything in a group show where you're taking bodies of graduate work, in some instances, I think in all instances actually, the artists have modified their work a little bit for the space. So whether that's with Pony's work, and it's in quite a different and smaller configuration. With Fung's work, it's like an aspect of that work. In some instances, the artist has chosen like 2 paintings instead of 4. So it kind of takes on a different meaning. Yeah.
Pony, could you speak a bit to your installation work? I didn't get to go to the VCA grad show last year, but I have seen photos of it, and in the VCA space, it's in this like large kind of room. How did you feel about transposing that into a smaller space at Blindside?
Yeah, it was a really good challenge. I really enjoyed, being able to, reimagine that installation in a new context, and also with a group show, like everyone's work around you, really informs people's reading of your own piece. So it was really great to, see how it evolved in that new space. I think I was really lucky, with the carpet squares that I've been using to install this work, it, really allows me to sort of create that, space within a space and, create a little, new little world for people to step into. And so that, I think that meant, in the really big space at VCA, I was able to use that to kind of hone the audience into the TV and that, specific waiting room context. And here I got given that, really kind of perfect corner to create another new little waiting room, and the TV was also smaller this time, which was really interesting to see how that changes people's perspectives and interaction with the work. But yeah, it's just, it's so nice, but just when you put so much time and energy into something and spent so long on creating something, to be able to have the opportunity to reimagine it is really exciting. Nice to give it a new life. So it was really enjoyable. Yeah.
I like this thread that once a work has been created, it can be changed and developed for new shows. And I think that's really interesting as a graduate, and having done so, you guys have obviously done it's basically a big research project of work, right? And then to be able to take threads of that and transpose it to different gallery spaces, I think that's really cool. I was curious about, I know a little bit about 3D rendering, but I am curious about this technique, photogrammetry. Could you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, for sure. That technique I purely used for, so in the piece, there's the little main protagonist, which is this sort of limbless silver pony, maybe a self-portrait, maybe not, I don't know. But that's actually a 3D scan of this metal pewter cast that I made during uni last year, and so that was just a toy horse that I found at Savers, and I casted that in silicon, took out the toy horse, and then melted the metal and poured it in. But it was a sort of really happy accident, because I just, cast making is not my top skill, and I just didn't, the metal didn't flow properly through the mold, but then it gave it that really kind of freaky limbless kind of scary shape, where it's is that a horse or what is that? That's a bit, So that then became this sort of character that flowed through the work, and it's actually just this app on your phone called Polycam, if anyone's interested in trying it out.
Cool.
But you just you just scan objects, and I've scanned people before, and then I learned how to import that scan into Blender, which is the program I use to make the videos. And you can just edit the scan, smooth it out. And then you give it, you build bones and limbs for it, digital bones and stuff. And then you start animating the horse. But so that's kind of the photogrammetry element of it. So it's that kind of combining the real with the fake, which I find very interesting. Mm. And it kind of flows throughout the whole piece. Yeah.
That's so awesome. And mixed medium as well. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I was in sculpture. So, but then I guess, video was a kind of, a lot of people were making videos in my cohort, and that's always been something I've been really interested in. And then I found Blender and 3D rendering, and I just got so ridiculously obsessed and couldn't stop doing it. So I kind of left the sculpture side of things, but I guess, if you look at the work, it is so, the installation is, quite important, not just the video,
sure.
So it all ties in.
It's sculptural rendering, even if it is, a video
for sure.
Or a digital work, it's still sculptural in itself.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, yeah. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I guess I'm interested in maybe both of your experiences in that kind of final year of uni. we're a youth show here, and I'm trying to get young people keen on studying art, or kind of be transparent about how it is to study art in Melbourne. How did you feel about your experience at VCA through sculpture? Do you think, I guess maybe the fact that you are able to step aside from sculpture as a traditional form and create new work within that bracket, do you think that was a useful way to study art, I guess?
Yeah, I think definitely. I really enjoyed the past 3 years. I think something that's so lovely about going to art school, being in that environment, is that you do get to like go through the course with just like pretty much the same small group of people throughout the 3 years, and you get this like, you build these really close connections also with your teachers, like the heads of department. Like I talk to other friends who are, you know, are doing different courses at Melbourne Uni or whatever, and not having those like regular people and faces is like, I've found that so important, and it just means like you come out the other end with like these people who have a really good understanding of like what you're making, and like are able to give you really good advice and feedback, and know you very well, maybe even sometimes more than you know your own work. So I found that really enjoyable. And in terms of sculpture, yeah, they really like, it's called sculpture, but it's pretty much like anything is sculpture. So I think there was like a lot of freedom in that. Like I'm really glad that I wasn't restricted to any like certain medium, and everyone's, yeah, it's very free for all, like try whatever you want, yeah, no boundaries. So I had a great time. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah
And what about with photography, had you studied for, did you know how to use like dark rooms and things like this before coming here and studying at RMIT, or did you learn those as a beginner? I'm curious about the kind of the level of photographic technique that's introduced in the course.
It's quite a wide range of students. I think I have pretty good techniques coming into the school. I've been photographing for a few years before I got here and didn't do my bachelor. But there's like people who are just buying out their first cameras ever. And yeah, I think it's quite comforting to know that the school is like catering to a wide range of students. But also photography in RMIT sits outside of a regular art school, I'd say.
Yeah,
it's because a lot of the students who go to RMIT photography wouldn't consider themselves an art student. Like they would pursue photography only for the financial measures of it.
Okay.
So it's quite an interesting system.
Yeah.
And right now I'm doing my honors at RMIT, still in photography, but then the cohort is mixed with fine arts.
Yeah.
So now I'm actually going through what it's like to go to an art school for the first time, I think.
How are you finding it?
I'm finding it great.
Yeah.
I've been making a lot of friends, and I have a lot of friends who graduate with me and my degree but went to VCA and doing honors there, and now have VCA friends. Pony, please be my friends. And and yeah. But doing photography as a degree in RMIT that sits outside of the fine art departments, but also encouraged to explore photography as an art medium, it's an interesting experience.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question as well, is if you guys are keen on furthering study. So you're doing honours now. Are you, Pony, are you keen on maybe continuing study in art school, or are you more interested in creating a practice outside?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty keen to get out into the real world and just start making things, like maybe like head down more of a design path. But yeah, I think it really, like fine art really just sets you up for any creative path, which is really exciting. Also a little bit terrifying, because I'm like, oh my god, there's so much I want to do and I don't know where to start. But yeah, I would love maybe to go back to honors like later. I think I just came straight out of high school into this degree, didn't have a break or anything, so I feel like if I do honors now, I'd really just be doing it because I really miss art school and like want to hang out with everyone. But I feel like I should go back when I'm actually like maybe a bit more mature and like have a new perspective on things and like have lived a bit more in the real world. But not that uni's not real, but you know, like just getting some work in the creative scene and
that's
whatnot.
That's fair enough. That's what I'm doing yeah. this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's exciting.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm always curious the difference between, I did art history and curation at Monash, my bachelor's I finished last year, and we didn't really have this element of weekly critique or critique as a class. And I'm always curious as to whether you found that useful or, I mean, if you're, if photography here did that outside of art school or, you know, just whether you found that practice useful as artists to develop your work, to show it to other people and then receive critique on it. Yeah.
I'd say definitely, we had the weekly critiques. You also have
We do.
Yeah, they were pretty
brutal.
Yeah, they start you off pretty easy in first year. I feel like they're pretty nice. They're maybe like 20-minute crits, and like usually everyone's very like complimentary of you and like, oh, it's so pretty and nice and blah blah blah. And then get to second year, it gets a little bit more tough, and then third year it's just all heads in. Yeah, it gets pretty brutal, but it's so good. I feel like the crits have just set me up, not just for like receiving criticism with my art, but also just generally like just at work and like with anything, like being able to like have those really like, receive constructive criticism and like be able to receive that and like not taking it as like a personal attack or anything, just being like, being able to separate that and and hear people give you feedback is so important in every facet of your life. So I thought it was great. I was like, I was always keen to just like for people to be brutally honest. Yeah. But I kind of, and I wish, I feel like a few artist run spaces are like organizing like crit spaces outside of uni because I feel like that's like such a thing that a lot of people would probably miss coming out of art school, just that regular feedback. So I'd love to like maybe look into that and like, or just like creating a little group of friends who get together and just, you know, I do it with my like housemates, but you know, someone maybe that like a bigger group that's, not just the people I see every day.
Or strangers as well.
Strangers, outside. Total new perspective. Yeah.
Cool.
But I don't know how you found them. Yeah.
The crits at school for me in photography, it's, I'd say it doesn't really crit on the visual form of the work that you're producing, or very little, but always, I feel like RMIT photography has this emphasis, which is, I think, super important and relevant to my practice, is how art positions that the person in within social imbalance, and think of the positionality of the artist more than the actual visual form that it creates. I feel like that's why the school's leaning towards photography as like social change. And there's always questions being raised about what does this photograph do in the world, rather than like comments on things that you can do better visually.
Yeah,
that's what I feel my experience going to school, which is, I think was very helpful for me, because the visual forms in photography is something that it's a bit contested, I'd say, with the separation between contemporary photography and like what museum would consider great photography. Or and now the raising a medium of AI photography. So I feel visual form in photography is always contested. So there's, and right now I've been just obsessed with how placing my art in positionality that in the intersection between different positionalities really change artwork. So yeah, critiques were very helpful for me. And but then at the end of semester, there's always like this very like practical feedback sessions, which is only on visual forms at the point that the lecturer like, oh, so the work is done and now we just refine it. And that's when the actual visual form session comes in and And right now, I'm doing honors, and I feel like everyone is at the point that they are really refining what they want to pursue in the career as an artist. So there's even more feedback on what, where does your art sit in the world? So which I feel like it's very important.
Yeah. And how about, how do you feel it set you up, both of you, for speaking about other people's work, or I guess just kind of the general like not only are you receiving feedback, but you're also giving feedback. I feel like that would be difficult as well, or maybe easy. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I find the giving the feedback actually more tricky. Like, I don't mind receiving it. I'm like, yeah, I can take it, but mm-hmm. giving the feedback, I feel like, I don't know. But it's good practice for, constructive criticism, like being like, I love this, like, you know, maybe if it was this, like, you know, just like,
Sandwich. Constructive criticism.
But then compliment. Yeah, totally. It's exactly that. Just, you get really good at doing that, I think.
Yeah.
Also having differentiating opinions, and like someone, you might give feedback and someone else is like, actually, I loved that. And then, having to justify your opinions about certain works and being like, no, I think this and this is why, but then being able to listen to other things, maybe people shift your opinion. Just having that open conversation, being challenged, I think is really important. And that space allows you to be challenged.
Do you think it's useful when you go out and you see art out around in galleries and things?
Do you think
it helps with your, I guess, ideas around it, or whether you like it or not?
I think so. I think, when my friend and I have travelled a little bit together, we'll always visit heaps of galleries and, like sometimes we'll just like kind of pretend we're in a crit and like we'll be like, okay, if this work wasn't in this like fancy gallery and it was at VCA, like what would we say about it? And then like if we don't like it, it's like, why don't we like this? But this is like, it's in a, you know, prestigious gallery. We should lie. And then we like really like break it down. And yeah, it's just really, it's quite fun. And it means that sometimes I like will just see an artwork in a put together gallery and be like, oh yeah, that's art, that's good because it's here. And it's like from having all these crits, it's like, actually, hang on, this doesn't sit right with me, or I feel like there's something, I don't know, I don't enjoy it as much as this other piece, why? And then it allows you to like debunk that and not just like make assumptions about works based off like the context they're in.
Yeah, we've touched a bit on this kind of bringing together for a group show. I was curious whether you guys have done any group shows before and what maybe your experience is working with new artists that you haven't met, and whether you, when you're installing your work, you kind of did you have conversations around it with other people, or were you just kind of focusing on getting your stuff up and getting your stuff done in the Blindside space?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Probably the only other group show I've done out of uni would be this show that all the volunteers did at TCB last year called Staff Discount, and it was just like all of the invigilators that volunteer just came together and put some work in the space, which was really nice. And I guess that was, more like, giving your work to the curator, and she kind of like rearranged it and like put it together, so I didn't have much say then. But I think, I guess a group show, just kind of like what I was saying before, like even if it was, unintentional, it's really interesting to see how a work does shift, even just like aesthetically and like, material-wise. Like, and like even with group shows we've done at uni, like it's been nice with, you know, even like me and Indy have shown work together before as well. And we're next to each other in grad show, and we were kind of saying like, oh, should I put like a few of Indy's plants near mine, and like maybe we'll leave some of the lollies in my piece around Indy's installation. And I think that collaborative aspect of group shows is really nice. But keen to do some group shows where maybe you're like creating a work, as a collective, or like for a specific theme, and there's maybe like thematic cohesion between the works as well. But no, have you done many?
I think I'm at the point where I think that group shows are more important than solo shows. I have been really working with collectives and communities to produce shows that we actually really like. And my most recent experience with group shows are with my collective called Red Bean Soup Collective, which we were inspired by the filmmaker Ching Tin Bingha and her ideas of reassemblage and think of collaboration and collaborative spaces as a way to bring together narratives that aren't really heard, reassembled. So right now I'm really obsessed with the idea of bringing together works from really, really emerging artists that's making works that doesn't have enough materials for like gallery directors or curators like nod their head and like, yeah, we can give them a show, but then really bring them together and then find a way to make the sum better than its parts.
Yeah.
And right now, well, we're deinstalling the show at 7th and highly recommend. It's my favorite show of the year. And it's co-curated by me and Adrian Jingsong, who's my longtime collaborator. And we mixed everyone's photos together into like one big massive vomit of prints. And yeah, it's with 6 artists, all from Asian diasporas. And we recognize that most of the Asian diasporas are like diasporic works.
Yeah.
Most of them, their most important works, the most important first works that they make are usually the ones that they make upon their trip back home. And it's usually because of either for funerals of death ones or taking care of a loved one that's dying or reconnecting with a family member that they haven't seen for a really long time. So there's this theme of celebration and life, but also like death and mourning and grief. So, and there's like little family secrets between each individual artist as well. That's why the works are often neglected by institutions and galleries, because it feels insensitive to show, which we don't think it's the case. So we have to come up with an idea of how to respect these secrets and respect these family stories, but also bridge them under a single theme that people can relate to right away. So we print 550 photos and we stick them all over the gallery, and we really make them site-specific to 7th, which is a heritage building.
Yeah.
It has these beautiful ceilings and beautiful patterns on the walls. And yeah, we really try to respect that building and play along with the patterns and make it look better than the building itself, like without the fingerprints on it. And then, well, according to my taste. And and the act of mixing everyone's prints together and not having wall label into knowing which prints are made by which artist can obscure and have the artist rights to opacity. You know, they can protect their own stories while still comment on the theme of gatherings and home and belonging. And we chose the name Red Bean Soup as the collective name and also the name of the show, because it's somehow such a common dish between all the cultures that were represented, like Japanese, Chinese, Malaysian, Vietnamese. No one really knows why it's such a common thing. We suspect it's like geographically it's grown for very cheap, and but somehow it's like always made into like sweet soup, either served hot or cold. And we suspect it might be temperature, climates that, you know. And then so we think of this idea of, oh, there's like this hidden thing that brings us all together. We don't really know why. And think of how the sum of everything can be better than its parts.
Yeah.
Highly recommend the show. It's
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Red Bean
Soup Collective.
And are you based somewhere or?
We're focusing on Victoria based artists right now.
Cool.
But we do have one artist from Gadigal land.
Cool.
And we think of the collective as more of a fluid group of people.
Yeah.
Who works with the same idea rather than a set group of artists.
Yeah.
So we also focused on publications. We run an online magazine called Transference Magazines, which features a lot of photographers who often doesn't get works shown.
Yeah.
And right now we're trying to like shift the publication and the collective towards building a community of Asia Pacific photographers who are, because right now actually if you think of naming NARM-based Asian photographers, it's not actually a lot of them.
Yeah.
So thinking of to like really cater to a community and create new dialogues, that's what we trying to shift our path towards.
Cool.
Yeah, so acting of the collective as like a physical anchor to make physical experiences for audiences, but using publication as something that can be spread online.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's my experience.
That's sick. That's really great. I'm going to look into
little
that.
Plug.
And what was the magazine called?
It's Transference Magazine.
Transference, yeah. Cool. That's awesome. That's show at 7th I didn't get to catch, but I saw some photos of the install and it looked crazy.
Maximalist.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it. Yeah. It was cool. But also I'm keen to hear maybe more about what you're looking forward to developing in the next year.
In terms of the next year, I feel like I'm just so keen to learn so much more on this program that I've been using. Like, I feel like I've just lightly scratched the surface. And every time I open my computer, I like learn a new little technique or a little specific setting. And I just like can't wait to just like spend hours. Like, it's so like just going to geek out and like learn how to like build full worlds and like animate characters. I don't know. I'm just very excited and like see what artwork comes out of that. Yeah, just like having fun making new things.
Are you getting into AI at all?
I actually have never got into that. Yeah, I'm a bit like terrified, honestly. Yeah. But could be interesting. I probably should, seeing as I'm working so much with technology. But
for sure. But I like your kind of older early digital age aesthetic.
Yeah, like it's that low poly. Yeah. And like it's great that like when you just like make mistakes and there's glitches, like that always like adds to the overall aesthetic and vibe. And like even just like I just love the challenge of like for this piece, each one is like site specific because there's a scene at the end where like the character is in a digital rendered version of the gallery or like the install. I made a render of Blindside, but it's like the fun of like just having the floor plan and then like building up the walls and looking at photos and like the details of the wood grain and the like plaster on the walls and it's like, yeah, I just like love the kind of like problem solving nature of that. Like, I feel like I guess I could just tell AI to like make a 3D render of Blindside, but I love the whole like the satisfaction of like putting it together.
It's pretty architectural of you.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Was it a blank canvas of Blindside or were you including works from the show in it?
Just my piece specifically. Yeah. Cool. So just like the carpet and the TV. And then, like, the horses, walking around the gallery and, like, doing the things that you're meant to be doing and walks out of the room. So just playing with, like, time and space and, like, distorting, different environments and whatnot. But,
sick. Yeah,
so
that's
I'm
cool.
It makes me very excited.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So if you go and see the exhibition, make sure you stick around and watch Pony's full work so you see that bit at the end.
That little bit at the end. Yeah.
I feel like that's hard with video work sometimes.
Yeah, so especially really at openings. Yeah. It's like no one's watching the videos. That's okay. Oh, yeah. Later. Yeah.
And for your honors work, are you working towards like a kind of final project this year?
Yeah.
Still developing or?
I think for honors, I'm going to try to tie all my previous works under one big theme that is exploring a collective identity under the post-American war decolonization state of Vietnam.
Mm.
Yeah, think of how the American war on Indochina is a pretty interesting history because it's like the first war to be televised on TV.
Yeah.
So it's the most famous case of how the winners aren't always the one writing the history.
Yeah.
It's actually, in that case, the American is the one who gets to write the history, like Apocalypse Now or like media, and think of how the way that Americans try to reconcile with the countries they invaded is through economic dominance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just a bit tangent. Think of how divisions of my surrounding communities are affected by these post-colonial circumstances. So my father was a volleyball player in the army. The army would have like the sports team and he would get selected to be a professional volleyball player. And that was since he was 15 and he'd play until he was like 30. And around 1985, he was sent to Cambodia as part of a training camp because his team just won the national championship. So there's like this little tournament between Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. Mm. And he was sent to Cambodia as part of his training camp. And then 1986, the border war broke out. So the war between China and Vietnam and Cambodia. And he was sent to Cambodia to fight. Mm. So just a year before, he got to go to a foreign country for the first time and meeting friends and meeting new teammates and people who share very similar stories, despite not the same language. And now a year later, he had to fight them. So in earlier this year, me and my dad went to Cambodia and we went to the War Museum. And we also went just anywhere that reminds him of what it's like to fight. And we would go to Phnom Kulen, which is a waterfall slash jungle area on a mountain. Yeah, and we were photographing each other. It was a collaborative work between me and him, where I would be the one setting up the camera and he would be the one pointing the camera towards us and get the trigger going. And we shot through an infrared film, which is used by American soldiers to like detect hidden enemies in the jungle, so the leaf would be blown out but the skin would be intact. And yeah, so think of my identity as a queer person growing up in a communist countryside and hiding these secrets from my father and how he hides the secrets from me. And think of decolonizing the American imperialism as a way to like reconcile with my surrounding communities that were divided because of this imperialist state. Yeah, so that's my big ambitious honors project to really connect everything, even with the Sunshine work and my current work with my father. Yeah, and I feel like I'm at this point where I'm really confident in pursuing career in art. Like I have been, for the past few months, I have been really building a solid foundation on which I feel like can be a sustainable career, which is not, something I think some people would disagree with it. But yeah, and I feel like it can be a fulfilling and long-lasting thing. That's why I'm really investing in it.
You're doing a great job. What advice would you give to people still doing their bachelor's or even coming out of high school for wanting to maybe have the confidence or having the kind of building up that much level of work and putting that work into your practice?
Listen to Arts Maiden on Sin Media. Talk to Audrey. I think just treat it like it's an actual job. Like I feel like I treat my art practice as an actual career. I apply for works. I build up volunteer works. I consider, working in hospitality and having a day job as the way to fund back to my long-term career. I actually, I go to meetings. I, do all the backhand stuff like emailing, logistics, shipping, pitching to publishers, raising money for things as an actual. For the past few years, I've been investing in it like it's an actual career, just as legitimate as any other thing. That's why I feel like I'm really confident in making it, because why not? If it's a job, then we work as a job.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for yourself, would you have any advice? Maybe interested in the decision that you made to come straight out of high school and into studying art. Would you give that same advice to a high schooler coming out of?
Yeah, school? I think in some ways, I think even though like the extreme sort of like regime of like year 12 VCE vibes is like so unnecessarily intense, but I feel like having a bit of that mentality and then going straight into art school, which I think I found, and I feel like some other people like find a little bit kind of maybe overwhelming in the sense that like there aren't like specific like regular assessments and like to-do lists of like what to do and what specific things to learn. It is very open and like which is it's like very like dependent on you being like proactive, which is amazing. So I think kind of having a bit of that school mindset of like studying or whatever, not that it's like the same study, but it just kind of like helped me like get that momentum going straight away. And I think just like I know like I was honestly like was it was very random, me joining VCA. Like, I was always going to do design at Melbourne because I just had these ideas of, like, I don't know, there were family members telling me that, like, it wasn't, like, a legitimate thing to pursue and that kind of thing. And, you know, and I think I just had a friend who really encouraged me to do it, and my art teacher as well. And, like, I just think if you've got that gut feeling, like, just do it and, like, prove them wrong. And I think, once you're at art school, I think just trying every single medium and opportunity, like, if the, you know, there's an induction for welding, just do it, you know. You, like, you're going to go, there's a photographer, someone's, like, got a photography darkroom induction and they need an extra person, go do it. Like, even if you've no, you know, idea of whether that's going to come be handy in the future, I just think that's the time to be trialing these things. And also just, like, saying yes to, like, any random opportunity, like, whether it be, like, someone's doing a little art show or, I don't know, there's, like, a little internship or a volunteer position somewhere. Just say yes. You know, if you've got the capacity to, just give it a red hot shot, and you just, like, never know where things are going to lead or, like, what people you'll meet that, like, might inspire your next step. So
definitely
just stay open, I think.
Was Blender something that someone recommended to you through art school, or is it something that you picked up on your own? And I'm assuming that you're self-taught, self-teaching,
but, like, quite very much inspired by it. It was, like, second semester, first year, when we were in lockdown, and we had this online course with a lecturer from Parkville. Can't remember their name, but they did a lot of, like, 3D rendering, digital sculptural stuff. And so we did a short course with them where they taught us a few different programs, but didn't touch base with Blender. And just, like, I did, like, the one class and I was like, oh my god. And then I, like, got, like, lots of people were recommending Blender on, like, online. I was like, great, downloaded it, and then found the YouTube videos, and, like, I was off. But yeah, totally, it's like that thing of, like, I could have been, like, in lockdown, like, oh, can't be bothered doing this extra course, it's not part of the, you know, I don't have to go to this course, so I guess I just won't, I'll have the afternoon off. But then, like, who knows where I'd be now? So I just think it's totally that thing of, like, you never know what's going to happen. So just, give it a go.
Awesome. So, that's great.
So debut 20, I should say, is open at Blindside from Wednesday to Saturday until the 27th of April.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'd love to do some shameless plugs for Blindside.
Please do.
So as I said earlier, Blindside's a volunteer-run org, and there's lots of opportunities to get involved. So if you're listening and you're thinking it might be something you're interested in, hop on the website and don't feel try not to feel shy or like you're not established enough. We'd love to hear from you. So at the moment, we're currently looking for a number of new artistic directors to join our board, as well as a sponsorship coordinator. So volunteer roles, they might not sound like super exciting, but it's a really great way to learn about artist-run orgs and to learn new skills. For example, money, how to get paid, which is my piece of advice, is value your work, your labor and your time. And if you're ever applying for grants, make sure you're paying yourself in that budget. And if you're interested in Blindside, I encourage you to stay in touch. We present month-long exhibitions, and they're typically programmed via a yearly expression of interest process, so anyone can apply, and it's a relatively short application process. So please do, like, keep a lookout. We also do artist residencies and that sort of thing.
It's a great space. What it means to be an artist-run space or an ARI gallery versus a
Totally. Well, I have to confess, I'm not an artist. I'm an arts worker and a curator. I actually studied fashion at RMIT a million years ago. I guess there, for me, artist-run spaces, there's a sort of, like, porosity and flexibility there. And Pony and I were just talking about it before. I think there's a certain freedom in these types of spaces. It's pretty hard to resist the institution, but they're less institutional. And there's, I guess, a little bit of a DIY element to it. And I think, you know, when you're stepping into an artist-run space, that there's a an understanding, of what it means to be working in that way.
Sometimes a bit more community-based as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for
reaching out for a chat, and I'm really, really keen to see the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.